The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore and her husband Keith join James and Betty to share their personal journeys of living in love.
We learn pretty quickly what the other's Achilles heel is. First years, we aim at it, don't we? I mean, we find out where we could get them, where we could really hurt them, and then we, like, aim the target.
We were good shots.
We were very, very good shots.
Insights to enjoy marriage as God intended. Next on Life Today.
I'm James Robison. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. I'm holding in my hand a book that has been in the bookstores for some time. It is Our Life Journey, and it is titled Living in Love. And I want you to know we're still living in love, even though after we wrote the book and we talked about marriage, we felt like there was more tension coming and really an attack and all that. Listen, God wants to help heal relationships. The enemy is a destroyer of relationships, and he's assaulting. And so when you begin to try to help people with relationship with God and one another, mm-hmm. and especially starting in marriage, to say the enemy focuses the fury of his attack on you is an understatement. He really does. But that's really what we talk about. We talk about our entire journey now approaching nearly 50 years. And it is a fierce battle, but we've learned some real keys that we share to help you have a meaningful, fulfilling relationship. And we will gladly send you the book. Many people who've read it said, oh, I want one for a friend. Well, if you'll simply help us give someone else a cup of water, we are going to offer to every person who asks, Living in Love so you can live in love. You and I talked with Beth Moore and her husband, Keith. And a lot of you not met Keith. You wonder about Beth's husband. Well, the two of them talked to us about marriage, and we're going to join part of that discussion and what we wrote in the book, Living in Love. I think you'll be blessed as we join with Beth and Keith Moore.
This time.
He looks good.
Yeah. You're really the only one that can talk him into this kind of thing. You know that, James. You have a persuasive way about you. You can get him to come on here.
Well, I must be anointed to get people to do what they said they wouldn't do. You said you would never be on television until you came right here.
You are absolutely right.
And look what happened. Wish we could influence, and I mean this sincerely. I mean, we can laugh about the fact he's sitting here when that, like with Betty, out of the comfort zone. The fact you're sitting here, because it's not only out of the comfort zone, you said you wouldn't do it, but we were able somehow to show you the possibilities and the peace that can prevail. So we had an effect. Here you both sit on television, here Betty sits. I wish we could have that same positive and profound and obvious effect on every couple and every person who wants to be a couple or who once was a couple, who would love for their relationship to be enhanced. I wish we could be that kind of inspiration where you'd see people literally come out and do that which they didn't even think was possible.
That's right.
That's my prayer for marriages.
You know, I love hearing you talk about that you're coming from an area of such testimony of the potential for destruction, because we can say, because we came in on the last 8 years of your life and your marriage, that we have seen a couple that is so dearly in love. One of the things I love about James and Betty, and James says it himself, that he says, you know, I wish Betty wouldn't just move from room to room because I feel the need to go follow behind her. And I'll go, she'll go to that room and then I'll go sit in it. Then she'll get up and she'll go into that room and then I'll go sit in it. He just absolutely adores her, and she adores him, and you truly are. Keith and I would both be able to tell you, you are truly a couple. I thought when I found out that you guys were writing the book, and I knew people had asked you. People talked to me about it. We often meet people that watch the program and see you two, and they constantly say, would you just tell them we love them and we see something so special in them? And I'm not surprised that the body of Christ and that people at large made this kind of request of you. But I thought to myself, you earned the right to speak on this topic, and it is absolutely fabulous. It is a book that every single couple needs to have.
Well, you know, the title, Living in Love, one thing I did not want people to think that meant a perfect marriage. living in love through the differences of our personality, living in love through the baggage we both bring into a, brought into a marriage, living in love through all the challenges that life brings through years and years of marriage together, but that it was possible to have that love in the center of it, which is God. You know, it has to start there.
That there really is nothing we can go through that God cannot bring us out of as
That's
a couple if we're both willing. Something that we were talking about earlier is just when you were talking about confronting with compassion and love and tenderness, that it was your way of talking things through. And for Keith and I tended to be like Betty. I did not want to have confrontation. I did not want to have conflict. I thought that meant something was wrong with you. Well, Keith came in just... He thought he knew you could live through a fight. And boy, he taught me how to have a good one. That we really could survive it. And, you know, he just got us to talk things through and realize we got to the other side. We made it. And I've loved that about him so much. We really can survive a good disagreement.
You know, one of the main points we make, and I pray you get this, you know, we're able to expand. One of the beautiful things about a book is you're able to look at it and try to absorb it and then hopefully apply it. We learned that you will have conflicts and you will have confrontation, but you need to look for conflict resolution, which you reach a point of stability, security, and peace in the situation. Don't look for conflict insulation, which is where you just go to get somebody to comfort you in your misery.
That's good. That's
and
good.
Comfort you in the place you are. The enemy will try to get you off to the side and tell you feel better over here than you'd be in there in that conflict. And that is a lie. And we buy into it, and we even go to counseling where we find somebody who identifies with us and gives us a false sense of comfort that actually keeps us locked into the bondage of a relationship that's coming apart.
Just being quiet is not the same as everything being okay.
No, that's right.
You can't have peace just by being quiet. Mm-hmm. It takes working through what's going on. I would say that one thing that's kind of similar between y'all and us is that we're authentic. You're authentic. It comes across on the TV that you're authentic. And people, you know, they warm up to that. So,
yeah, we're not going to try to put out a perfect front because we know that's not us. And we know we really can give people hope. I figure, you know, we've got 80 years of marriage sitting right here between these two couples, 80 years of marriage and imperfect marriage, flawed people, but people who determined that they wanted to stick it out and stay together. I've got, as you can see, I've taken a few notes on the book. I'm an obsessive note taker. And let me tell you, there's a lot of notes to be taken from this book, and it would be the most interesting for each of you to get your own copy, see what you underline, then put them together and go, you were talking to me, weren't you? No, you were talking to me. It would just, you could get you in a good fight, you know, as you work it out and get to a place of healing. And that's exactly what we need because we need to see the real thing.
Yeah, and I do want you both to get a copy of the book. I mean, if there's still two of you there. And by the way, you know, well, you may have gotten so far apart, you just had to send them a note, say, hey, go buy this book. But here's the thing, I'd like both of you to read it. And by the way, if you're alone, you can learn from what you read because... the loss of what once was doesn't mean there's not a to be in Christ, a new beginning. And those of you who are dating or courting or you're wishing I could find the someone, maybe this will prepare you for finding them. But wherever you are on your journey, we're writing to help you in the journey. I really would love to see couples, however, each get a book. And it'll be interesting. I think it's actually be fun to see what you highlight. And just after a few chapters, see if you're highlighting what you hope they read. And if they didn't see it, you've highlighted so you can read it to them. Now, my prayer for you is that you're in the process of the journey. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine. At least we've got you interacting now, see? And then you've got some substance because when they read the part to you, you can read the other part to them. And here you go. But you're making some progress. The point is this. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if as you're reading the book, suddenly you began to see what God is saying to you and what maybe others and even this spouse that you're bothered by has been saying to you, maybe in the wrong tone. And one of the things we talk about, we break the book in three parts. We start with commitment, then communication, and then challenges. And a part of the communication, of course, is confronting properly. Also, we talk about confession. You don't confess to feel better. You confess to be made whole. Confession will make you feel better. You can go to confession all the time. We don't want to feel better. We want to get better. So we try to show you how you get there. And sometimes we do need the right kind of help coming in. But you get the book and you're reading, reach this point. This is our prayer for you. That when you begin to read, you let God really be speaking to you. Yes, you may have heard it through them or someone else, but read. You know, we talk about one of the challenges being rearing children, and one of the points I make, Betty, and I know this is so true, and I feel I need to say this to you because child rearing is big. And with all you say, they're watching you. Our children experienced a miracle watching mom and dad somehow. You say, well, we all were so perfect. I'm sure Betty was, but not you. I don't know about that. Let me tell you what happened to our children. Somehow our children looked beyond mom and looked beyond this father, and they clearly saw the father.
Thank you, Father.
And they were magnetically attracted, and they were captivated by him. This is what a marriage relationship somehow needs to model for the children. So they look way beyond us and see him. Well, while you're reading the book, I pray you'll hear him speaking to you loud and clear. That's my prayer. I need to ask you, Beth, because you're such an effective communicator and writer. Did you in some way sense God really perhaps speaking to couples individually and collectively?
Really, on every single page. That's why I took note after note after note. In fact, I just wrote down, we don't want to just feel better, we want to get better. I'm mm-hmm. telling you, you got some lines here. That is powerful, powerful stuff. And what I loved about it is that Keith and I have gotten to see it firsthand. We know it's real. We know that you guys are living what you're teaching us here, and that's what makes it authentic. That's what makes it jump off the page and become something that could be our reality and not just someone we're reading about. You guys have lived this thing. That's why I say you've earned the right to speak to us about marriage, because you've not just made it. You enjoy it. Something that you said about Betty, because I do know her so well, and I was so tender to this, when you said that because she has retained such a sweet spirit, one thing that can happen in marriage is that we just get irritable and cold-hearted toward one another. We just get calloused. We get hurt enough where we think, you know, I'm not going to get over it. I'm going to just guard my heart against you. But Betty has such a sweet spirit that you were saying in one portion of the book that you can't stand not to be reconciled with her. Now, if she just were, you know, just annoying and cold, you'd want to pull back. Why in the world would you want to draw close to that? But because she has retained such a tender heart, you just can't bear to be away from her. And I wish we could get this early on, and that's what your book is going to do for people. Because if young couples could get a hold of it now and not have to learn this later in life, or perhaps never learn it at all, if you could learn it early on, that when we discover one another's tender places, when we learn pretty quickly what the other's Achilles heel is. And the first marriages, the first years, we aim at it, don't we? I mean, we find out where we could get them, where we could really hurt them, and then we, like, aim the target.
We were good shots.
We were very, very good shots. It's interesting, though, because now we say over and over, and it's something that we've seen in you, after a while then, when God brings you healing and causes you to have such a greater depth of love, you avoid him. It's funny because now I don't want to hurt his feelings. And it bothers me. I used to love it in the beginning. Like, I'll get him. I'll know exactly what to say. But, you know, now in the later part of our marriage, I wish we could have learned this early on. Because I don't want to hurt his feelings. And if I know that I did, I think, oh, brother, I'm going to have to go say I'm sorry now. Because I want to be restored to him. He's my best friend, and he's the funniest person I know. And I know that you guys feel the same way about each other.
I've seen the two of you, because we've been together.
And yes.
You had a little cabin we were in. You've been in a little cabin with us.
Yes.
And we've been in homes together.
Yes. And our bathrobes.
And I...
No makeup on, even the guys.
You know, by the way, Betty is so proper. She gets up in the morning and looks nice. She doesn't dress sloppy even when she gets up. I talk about in the book. She's so efficient at doing things. I get up during the night to go to the bathroom and come back and the bed's made.
I believe
I have done that.
But we have been together. We've been together a lot. And I saw the two of you have a heated one. Betty calls them, what do you call them? A heated discussion?
Heated discussion.
Now, most people call them arguments. You call them a heated discussion.
And by the way, because
she's soft and gentle and didn't want to confront, and she'd go pout, she explains what this is all about and how we work through it. and we'll confront. Now then, she really gets into it. And you think, well, she's so sweet, she couldn't hold her own. She's
you
as tough as
you taught me well.
Right. I'm telling you. And she gets with it. And really, I'll just know I'm right, and she'll be telling me how wrong I am. And she's really getting with it, and she's up, and she's telling me. And I start cheering, come on, go, girl, go. Come on, girl, go. I become her best cheerleader because we're...
And then he disarms me, and I forgot what the argument was.
Exactly. Then you just get tickled. Yeah. You know, there comes a time when you get tickled at each other.
She told me I'm a professional at apologizing. She said, you are so good at saying I'm sorry.
And making me feel like it's my fault.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said, you can apologize in such a way as to make me feel like it's my fault. You're a master of it. Anyway, I was about to say that I've watched the two of you go at it. I've watched you, Keith. Now, you know Keith. And I saw you jumping pretty good. Very, everybody understands you can be forceful. And I watched much of a man. I watched a macho man with other people there. I watched him take it like a man should, with honor and respect, and said, you know, I think he probably thought, well, probably I didn't do that exactly right. And then they kind of settled things down, and we finished having lunch. But I know that as soon as we left, they continued this discussion. But I know it continued because if I could see the vein of honor, in other words, you said, Keith, I want to tell you something now. And he knew he was being told something.
But he had used some language that I had asked him not to use. And so it was so funny because when James and Betty were reminding us of this and we were just having such a laugh before we came out to serve all of you, I said, okay, which day was that? Was that today or yesterday? Because that could happen any day, couldn't it, Dad?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know, we've been talking to you about marriage, and we'll continue to. We appreciate getting to talk to Beth and to Keith. And I really do encourage you to get the book, Living in Love. I think that it will mean so much to you and to your spouse, even those of you who may have lost a marriage, and how you rebuild for the future, because we deal with that. And what happens when someone has failed in their relationship? How do we deal with the challenges that come to every marriage? We will send you the book if you will simply help us share water. As a matter of fact, you're going to see Beth Moore as she talks about the importance of giving fresh water. We continually share the water of life, but some people need water for life. And I'd like you to listen to Beth and I believe really listen to the heart of God concerning needs that we can meet. Here, watch closely.
More children die on the continent of Africa because of a waterborne illness than any other natural or man-made disaster. The severity of this problem is why Life Outreach International has responded with all available resources to try and alleviate the suffering and dying. But the battle to save lives is far from over.
We still have 400 million people in Africa that do not have access to clean and fresh water. Now, I want you to understand what that means, is that translates into lives in all the rural villages of mothers and children that are drinking filthy water, preparing whatever food they have with water that we would never even dream of washing our hands in. It is an absolutely critical need, and in many, many cases, a matter of life and death. Do you realize that of 85% of the children's deaths under 5 years of age, 85% of those are from waterborne diseases? This gets to be an exception. This is just exactly what we're after, is we're drilling wells so that people can know that they are drinking life and not death. Doesn't get any better than this. Join me in being able to give a cup of fresh life to this child. This is water for life, and this is what we're after.
You know, we face a number of challenges, especially related to children's diseases and really heartbreaking situations where we oftentimes don't seem to be able to find the answer. But when you see, as Beth referenced, children in need, and then you see her just simply giving there on the mission field a cup of water, and you realize, Betty, that that really is, it is the solution. It's not something you wonder about, will it work, but it absolutely works. And we're asking you to help us literally give a cup of water. I think for Jesus to say, if you give just a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. And I've said many times with Betty that it's reward enough just to know I've blessed them. And when you think about all that God has in his heart, when he's talking about our needs being met, and when Paul told the people who were members of the family of God in Philippi, the Philippian church, that because you, and he actually said you were the only ones that gave time and again to the need in his mission work. And he said, as a result of this, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. So there's the most incredible promise. And Betty, we have found, as so many of our viewers have, that when we reach out and give life, it's amazing how God blesses our life. Not only the fact we bless them, but it's as though when Jesus says your reward, it's as though God is looking in and meeting our needs. And many people have needs. I find that when I meet a need, it's amazing how my needs are met.
Absolutely. And Beth said it just right. There's nothing any better than this. When you know that you're putting a cup of fresh, clean water in their hands, the opportunity to have that purified water compared to what they've been drinking and had to, I can't even imagine the taste that it must put in their mouth with that contaminated water, James. But to know that we can be a part, have the opportunity to give them fresh, clean water.
Now, let me tell you exactly what our goals are. If I could just say to you directly that we have a goal, and we find these places because the missionaries bring them to our attention. So the love of God is already in place. And the missionaries say, would you do this in our area? Would you help drill a well? We're committed to drill with your help, and it's the only way we can do it. We can only release the river when we receive. We release what we receive. That's the only way we can do it. So we're asking you to help us drill 415 wells in 15 nations. Now, these are in critically needed areas where the love of God is already in place, and now we demonstrate it, save lives, and win millions of people to Christ. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you could help us drill a well, and I began praying before we came on the air, God, touch 100 people's hearts and enable them to give a well. That's $4,800. Could you do that? I've asked God today to touch that many people's hearts. Would you be one of them? Would you say, I can drill a well? Would you go to the phone and dial that number and say, I'm writing a check or I'm putting it on my bank card like a check? If you could give part of a well, $2,400 or $1,200, and pray for another person or for three other people to join you, we'd have the well. But keep this in mind, $48, 10 people water the rest of their life. $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. We want to send you, for any gift that you make, we want to send you the book, Living in Love. We also have Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word. What a blessing it'll be. We have the beautiful journal, like our daughter Robin gave me after she had won the battle against cancer and said, Dad, God led me to give you this journal. I can't tell you what a blessing this has been to me as I write down what God says to me. And then the Father's Heart bronze for those of you who will help us literally drill a well. You drill the well, or pray for another person or three others to join you. We want to bless you, and we thank you for making that call and making that great gift of life. Please do all you can today.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease, and once ingested, can lead to death. But one new water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your donation today, Mission Water for Life can drill 415 water wells this year in 15 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any size, we'll send you Living in Love, James and Betty's new book that shares keys to an exciting and fulfilling marriage. You'll also receive Beth Moore's best-selling book, Praying God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to record and reflect on your own personal times with God. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture representing God's fatherly love for us as His children. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, you know, here's a little girl getting a drink. Betty just said, I can't help her. I can't help her do it. And the reason Betty says that is she knows. She's seen the river, where it comes from. We've seen the animals and the animal waste, and we know it's contaminated. Now, you're going to tell a thirsty child they can't have water. When their mother brought them the water, Mom brought them this water. Mom had no idea she might be bringing this child disease or sickness.
This is the kind of water they're drinking, the only water that they have to fill their thirst. But as they're filling their thirst, they're putting disease into their little bodies. We don't need that to happen. We can make a difference in that. If you'll just join with us, and let's give these children some clean, safe water. Will you please go to the phone right now? We need to begin drilling these water wells to help these children. We must not delay. We need your help now. Please go to the phone.
Yeah, well, Betty and I thank you so much for your help. And you know, Betty, sometimes people get busy when they call, and that's really, it ought to make your heart leap. That means somebody else has already called, even ahead of you, and the others calling. But hey, listen, please understand how important it is. And $48, 10 people, the rest of their life, we're sending Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word, our book on marriage, Living in Love, for any gift as you help us share life and share fresh, clean water. Thank you for making the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much.
Keith and I have said that that we've each been married to five different people. They all just look exactly like us.
Beth Moore and her husband, Keith, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.